We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the warehouse.
Welcome to Active Shooter, a podcast that covers the whys, the hows, and the aftermath of active shooter and mass casualty events.
They have an active shooter in the building. A second call says they are being attacked.
I've been shot.
169 San means we got shots fired. 415 AS, Route 291, sounded like an automatic firearm.
Active shooter, reports of an active shooter, active shooter,
active shooter, mass casualty incidents.
Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Active Shooter, a podcast that may contain adult themes, explicit language, and graphic depictions of violence. Portions of this show may be traumatic for those under 18. Listener discretion is advised.
We're learning some new details about a string of shootings at Atlanta area spas that left 8 people dead. Police say the 21-year-old suspect admitted to the shooting, saying he blames the spas for providing an outlet for his addiction to sex. Police also say he was heading to Florida, intending to carry out more attacks when they arrested him.
Tuesday, March 16th, 2021, was a dark and torrential day in Cherokee County in Atlanta, Georgia. And it wasn't just because of the weather. Severe storms raged through portions of Georgia, although Cherokee County and Atlanta just missed the worst of the physical storm. Unfortunately, the metaphorical storm that devastated so many began in the small city of Acworth before spreading to Atlanta, and finally culminating in the arrest of the madman behind it all. Over 150 miles and 3 hours away from where it all started. You see, today's shooter had a clear objective, which was to kill as many people as possible. And while the shooter claims the attack was not racially motivated, those claims seem suspect, given the victims and the businesses chosen. Since the pandemic began, Asian hate crimes have risen at alarming rates, and they're reaching all-time highs. Frankly, it doesn't seem like this shooting, this horrifying and devastating attack, was anything but a hate crime perpetrated by a sick individual who showed zero regard for human life. The case we will cover today includes shootings at 3 different Asian spa locations in 2 different cities and counties in Georgia. 8 people lost their lives, while another was badly injured, and the loss is utterly overwhelming. The extraordinary horror that was brought upon so many innocent people that day is incomprehensible.
Active Shooter the Podcast is a High Five Holly production, and I'm your host, JT. If you've listened to our prior episodes, you know that the Active Shooter podcast team has taken the No Notoriety Pledge, and we will not be sharing the real name of the shooters that we cover. We will be giving the shooters a pseudonym and refer to them by that name throughout the episode. This will help in clearing up any confusion in the story, while remaining true to our pledge in not naming the shooter by their actual name.
We will refer to today's shooter as Ron. Acts of violence aren't typical in Cherokee County, Georgia. It's a mostly safe area with only one homicide in 2020. That all changed in the late afternoon hours of Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. Cherokee County and Atlanta, Georgia were experiencing periods of severe weather storms blowing through. In Atlanta, the rain was a bit lighter, though very cloudy and chilly, Cherokee County saw heavy rains falling along with more scattered storms. A bit further south of both areas, the weather was bad, with the kinds of storms you get regular weather alerts about. It was dark, damp, and dreary in the area for a few-day stretch, which seems like a fitting backdrop for the violence that was unleashed upon three different massage spas. Each happened to be Asian-owned and operated, though it must be noted that these were legally operating businesses, apparently chosen at random, yet likely selected due to the nature of the specific business. At approximately 2 p.m., 21-year-old Ron went to the Big Woods Goods Sporting Store, which is located in Holly Springs, Georgia. While there, he bought a 9mm semi-automatic long gun, or rifle, and ammunition. The entire purchase cost $460. From there, Ron drove to a nearby liquor store, where he bought a bottle of bourbon. He then drove to Young's Asian Massage and parked his black 2007 Hyundai Tucson SUV, where he proceeded to drink, sitting in the SUV for about an hour, taking long pulls from the bottle. Young's is located in a fairly rural area of town in a strip mall, nestled in between Gabby's Boutique and Perfecto Beauty Salon. Ron eventually went inside and bought and received a service, probably a typical massage, though precisely what service he paid for has never been released to the public. Afterwards, he stepped into the restroom where he prepared his weapon, and at 4:54 p.m., he walked out of the bathroom, raised his gun, and opened fire. His intention, as he later described it to police, was to kill people. And kill he did. Four people were murdered, and one was injured before Ron fled the spa and quickly drove away before anyone noticed. At 5:47 p.m., police were dispatched to a robbery at the Gold Spa. Upon arrival, officers discovered three women inside the spa. They had all been murdered, which was apparent from the obvious gunshot wounds each had sustained. There was an employee at the Gold Spa who survived, and later reported to police that the shooter never said a word during the shooting. Another employee who made it out alive said that she was in the break room with the other survivor when they heard gunshots and a coworker scream. She peeked her head out of the room and saw yet another employee lying dead on the ground. The woman looked up and made eye contact with the shooter. Her blood ran cold, and she managed to back up into the break room, where she grabbed a nearby blanket and hid underneath while her coworker hid behind a box. The women were terrified, and probably shaking uncontrollably at what was happening just outside the safety of their break room. Unfortunately for the staff of the spa, the security guard that was hired by the owners was only on duty from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., which is outside of the time the shooting occurred. While police were investigating the shooting at the Gold Spa, they were informed that there were shots fired at Aromatherapy Spa, which was, coincidentally, just across the street. Several police rushed over, but not in time for the woman there who had been shot. She was already deceased by the time police arrived.
I'm going to sit on Operator 717. I was at just emergency.
This is 1916 Pinam Road.
Repeat the address.
Yeah, Gold Spa. In your library right now, so can help me come.
Okay, repeat the address.
1916 Pinam Road.
You need police, fire, or an ambulance?
Huh?
Police, fire, or an ambulance?
We need a library here. That guy, that's why. Need a police, you know.
It's a robbery there?
Yeah.
Okay, is this a house, apartment, or business?
Gold Spa.
I can't hear you.
Gold Spa.
Okay. All right, you have a description of the male?
Please, hurry.
Do you have a description of him, ma'am?
We need to hide him right now, this way. Please.
Is it a male or female?
They have a gun, but it's like not a real gun. That's why.
They have a gun, he said?
Yeah, but it's not a real gun. That's why.
Where is he at in the building?
This is a gorgeous spa.
I know. Where's the person who is robbing the spa? Where is he right now?
I don't know. I'm hiding right now.
Okay. Did you have a description of him? Did you see him?
Oh, yeah. It's a white guy.
A white male? What is he wearing?
I don't know. Please come, okay?
What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Unkin.
Okay. All right. What room are you in?
Thank you, please.
Okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
I don't know yet, but I just got a call from one of my friends, and they say some guy came in, you know, we hear the gunshot, and, you know, the lady is passed out, like, in front of the door.
Okay,
and everybody's scared, so everybody's hiding, so I don't know what's going on exactly, but I need the ambulance or something over there in the location, please. Some guy came in and shot the gun, so everybody heard the gunshot, and some ladies got hurt, I think, and, you know, everybody's scared, so they hiding in the behind, but the ladies passed out.
Okay, so, okay, let me just let everybody know what's going on, and I understand you're not there. Do you know how old she is?
She's 60, so somewhere around there.
Was she awake? And we're on
no,
the way,
No, she passed
okay?
out.
Okay, and was she breathing?
I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not there.
Yes, ma'am. But you're giving me some good information. Thank you so much. Bear with me, okay? I understand you're not there, and I'm going to put down unknown for the rest of the information. Okay?
Yes.
Miss Nina, thank you so much. Miss Nina?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sending the paramedics to help you now. Stay on the line. I'll tell you exactly what to do next. Let me ask you this. Where did you say the people are hiding?
They behind the dock. Like, we have a bike.
Okay.
Like,
they're hiding inside the business?
Yes, inside the business.
Okay.
Further investigation at each separate crime scene commenced, and it was reported at the Young shooting that a customer arrived at 4:40 p.m. that day, and nothing was amiss. First responders arrived within minutes of the initial 911 call. The second shooting, which was about 30 miles away from the first, was reported as a burglary. However, as we are all too aware, what happened was far more sinister. The two employees who survived the Gold Massage Spa shooting later reported that they heard ticking sounds, but quickly realized it was actually gunfire they heard. Though they were shot at, they were miraculously not hit. The survivors also reported that the shooter locked both the front and back doors of the spa at one point, which must have been absolutely horrifying. Investigators for the Atlanta Police Department began to conclude that the attack at the second and third shootings was committed by the same individual, or group. Police released surveillance footage to the public, asking for help in identifying the subject, and almost immediately, they received a call from Ron's parents, saying the shooter was their son. It must have been surreal watching video footage of your child armed and murdering innocent people. The release of the video also aided police in connecting the Young shooting to the Gold Massage Spa and Aromatherapy Massage Spa shootings.
Active shooter. Reports of an active shooter. Active shooter.
Active shooter of mass casualty incidents.
Active shooter. Reports of an active shooter. Active shooter.
Active shooter of mass casualty incidents.
Descriptions of the alleged shooter were blasted all over the news and other media outlets, and before long, the Cherokee County Sheriff Frank Reynolds contacted law enforcement in central Georgia and said that they believe the shooter was driving south on I-75. Additional police units were dispatched, armed with descriptions of the shooter and his vehicle. Ron wouldn't escape his crimes for long. A Crisp County Sheriff's deputy and troopers from the Georgia State Police spotted Ron's car approximately 150 miles south of Atlanta. The troopers performed a pit maneuver, which is a move that calls for a patrol vehicle to bump into the car it is pursuing, causing the other vehicle to spin and come to a halt. The move worked, effectively stopping Ron's car, and he was ordered to show his hands many times. Finally, he complied by sticking his empty hands out of the open window. Police then commanded Ron to exit the car, raise his hands, and lay on the ground, which he did. Ron was handcuffed and lodged at the Crisp County Detention Center, and then later transferred to Cherokee County for holding and to await charges. A thorough search of the vehicle produced a 9mm firearm. Ron admitted to police that he was heading to Florida when he was stopped about 2.5 hours away from the first shooting location. Police investigators would later say that Ron's parents were incredibly helpful in locating Ron. They gave police information needed to track Ron's phone, which could have only happened because police immediately issued surveillance footage to the public. They called 911 at 6:51 p.m., which was only 2 hours after the discovery of the first shooting, and reported their child as the spa shooter. 6 out of 8 victims were Asian women, which simply doesn't appear to be a coincidence, or not about hate, as the shooter tried to claim. 33-year-old Delana Young was a customer at Young's Asian Massage when she was killed after planning a date night with her husband, who was also at Young's. He managed to survive by locking himself in a nearby room. Delana was known as the most loving mother, wife, sister, daughter, and friend. She was very spiritual, loving the Lord with her whole heart, and she encouraged others to do so as well. She loved to care for family and friends, and enjoyed serving people with a smile at her job at the local Waffle House. Delana cared hard for those around her, and frequently opened her home for others needing a place to stay. One of her favorite activities was snuggling her daughter and wrestling around with her son and cheering him on at his cross-country races. She is survived by her beloved husband and 13-year-old son Mason and 8-month-old daughter Mia. The gregarious, warm-hearted woman will be greatly missed. Paul Andre Michaels was 54 years old when he was murdered at Young's. He worked as a handyman and was fondly remembered as a good-hearted man that was the first to jump in and help others. Paul was one of 9 siblings and grew up in Detroit, Michigan before moving to Georgia. A United States Army veteran who once owned a home security and theater business, Paul was a busy, caring man who will be missed. 49-year-old Sho Jae Tan, who went by Emily, was the proud owner of Young's Asian Massage Spa. She had big dreams of traveling the world and was looking forward to her upcoming 50th birthday. Emily provided everything she could to her family and was perpetually laughing and smiling. She had a presence and people just loved being around her. The youngest of 2 girls, Emily's father was a bicycle mechanic who loved his girls deeply. The year before the shooting, Emily traveled to China to celebrate the Chinese New Year with her mom, niece, and sister. Emily wasn't just all fun and laughter, though. She maintained a professional business and was incredibly gifted with bookkeeping, and in the span of 15 years, she went from being a nail tech to owning 2 spas on her own. Her family was understandably outraged at the speculation that her business provided illicit sexual services. There had never been speculation of such, and they were horrified that her death came with such devastatingly negative talk. Emily leaves behind many friends and family, including one cherished daughter and she will never be forgotten. 44-year-old Dao Yuefeng was murdered at Young's and died with no known family in the United States. A funeral was organized by a local Chinese-American organization so that anyone who knew the benevolent woman could pay their respects. Hyun Jung Grant was 51 years old when she was murdered at the Gold Spa. An elementary school teacher in Korea before coming to the United States, Hyun worked incredibly hard to make it to America and truly loved being in this country. She was a single mother who loved to dance and go to parties, but mostly enjoyed her time with her two sons, who will miss their outgoing mother. 69-year-old Sun Cha Kim was murdered at the Gold Spa. She immigrated to Texas in 1980 with her then 1-year-old son, and the first thing she did upon arrival was eat a corn dog at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Sun Cha loved everything about America. The food, the land, simply everything. One of her proudest achievements was becoming a United States citizen. She loved to travel back to Korea to visit, but Sun Cha considered herself a true American and could never wait to get back home. She was married for over 50 years to her doting husband before her death. A devout Catholic, she attended church regularly and often volunteered, working with the homeless, always wearing a smile. The wonderful, happy woman will be missed terribly. 74-year-old Sun Chung Park was murdered at the Gold Spa, where she had been employed since 2018. Sun immigrated to the United States about 40 years earlier when she was a widow. At the time, she left her 5 children in Korea because she was determined to give them a better home and life in America. She wanted to have a house and work before bringing them over with her. Sun earned her citizenship in the late 80s and brought her children over, and they lived in New York, where she ran a jewelry business, before she and her children moved to Georgia about 10 years before the shooting. Sun met her husband in 2017, and the couple wed shortly thereafter. Her favorite things were cacti, sunflowers, and Korean orchids. This selfless, doting mother will be deeply mourned and never forgotten. Young A. Yue was 63 years old when she was murdered at the aromatherapy spa. A Buddhist who immigrated from South Korea over 40 years earlier, Young loved and appreciated her Korean roots and enjoyed singing Korean karaoke and cooking Korean meals. In fact, she had a weekly ritual of preparing a traditional Korean dinner that she loved sharing with her 2 doting sons and 8 grandchildren. Her favorite pastimes were spending time with her children and grandchildren, and she was known as a generous woman that was quick to lend a hand to anyone in need. Young will be missed by all that knew her.
Active shooter. Reports of an active shooter. Active shooter.
Active shooter of mass casualty incidents.
Active shooter. Reports of an active shooter. Active shooter.
Active shooter of mass casualty incidents.
Ron was born in April of 1999 in Woodstock, Georgia. He was raised in a conservative community and lived in a ranch-style, one-story house. Ron's father was a youth minister, and he had a younger sister as well. He graduated from Sequoia High School in the spring of 2017, graduating with a class of over 400 students. Those that remember Ron recall him as being incredibly shy, and the word nerdy was often used. A former classmate said that Ron seemed innocent and nerdy, but not violent, while another described him as, quote, super nice, super Christian, very quiet, and elaborated that Ron brought a Bible to school with him every single day and carried it everywhere with him. The family attended Crabapple First Baptist Church, which was forced to delete their Facebook page and website after the shooting. Ron's entire family went to the church, and they were all very active, with his mom even organizing many of the church's events. After high school, Ron became something of a drifter, unsure what and where he wanted to be. He worked some odd handyman jobs around his neighborhood, and in the fall of 2017 to the fall of 2018, he was enrolled at the University of Georgia Cumming campus. He didn't receive a degree or certificate before he stopped attending. Ron had no run-ins with law enforcement and wasn't ever in trouble. Instead, he was deeply involved with his Southern Baptist congregation, and they were who he spent the majority of his time with. However, Ron struggled with what he claimed was a porn addiction. He spent hours each day watching pornography online, and in fact, the day before the shooting, Ron had been kicked out of his parents' house because of his addiction, and it's not clear where they, or he, expected him to go. The addiction seemed real, at least in Ron's mind it was. He sought treatment by entering the Maverick Recovery Center in Roswell, Georgia, between August of 2019 to January of 2020, where he lived in a housing unit. The center is a traditional 12-step housing facility located approximately 13 miles from Ron's parents' house. His roommate at the facility claimed that Ron told him he was tortured by his porn addiction because he was so deeply religious and that Ron would give long sermons about his interpretations of the Bible. Perhaps Ron wasn't motivated purely by racist hate, but he held racist beliefs, particularly about Asian women. While he was a patient at the recovery center, Ron frequented massage spas. When asked at the center why he always went to, quote, massage parlors instead of hiring a prostitute, he would say he thought the massage parlors were safer. When asked if he was attracted to Asian women, he claimed not to be. However, after one visit to a massage spa, Ron confessed to his roommate that he was having suicidal thoughts because he was, quote, living in sin and walking in darkness. The roommate encouraged Ron to seek counseling, but Ron said he preferred to continue with his current path of spiritual counseling. This was because if the counseling wasn't affiliated with the church, Ron wasn't interested. Numerous times during his stay at the center, Ron relapsed. He considered masturbation to be a relapse, and he purposely went to massage spas with the intention to seek out illegal sex acts that he wrongly and racistly assumed were offered at every Asian massage spa. After his stay at Maverick Recovery, Ron transferred to HopeQuest, which is a facility located in his hometown of Woodstock. The facility is housed on an 18-acre wooded campus. Nearly 50% of the patients at HopeQuest suffer from pornography and sex addictions. HopeQuest is located approximately 1 mile away from Young's Asian Massage, which is where Ron committed the first shooting. This is most likely how he became familiar with the spa. Outrageously, Ron told police that his actions weren't motivated by race. His motive was to help others with sex addiction by eliminating the spas. The fact that he couldn't see or understand how truly horribly racial and hateful such a statement is illustrates the sick mind of this shooter. While he was attending school, Ron played the drums but also attended meetings for a Christian student club and carried the ever-present Bible. He liked to travel with his church youth group, play video games, and hunt deer. Ron had an Instagram, and his bio read, quote, pizza, guns, drums, music, family, and God. It's a pretty good life. The bio or page were removed shortly after the shootings. In the years leading up to the shooting, more specifically the 4 years prior, Ron's life really began to fall apart. He confessed to his friends that he was addicted to sex, which caused him to stray from his faith. He seemed truly tormented by his perceived transgressions. In January of 2019, Ron began a relationship with a woman from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And later in that same month, he went to visit his new girlfriend, informing his parents that he wasn't coming back. He wanted a fresh start in a new city. After he left, his parents called over and over again, desperately trying to get in contact with their son. He refused to answer, so they finally called 911 to file a missing persons report. However, because their son was an adult, didn't take prescribed medication, didn't suffer from mental illness, and wasn't suicidal, a report wouldn't be taken. Instead, an overdue motorist report was filed. He clearly returned home at some point, though details surrounding his runaway and subsequent return aren't clear. But a mere 7 months after the relationship began, Ron entered into the treatment facility. During his relatively young life, Ron had taken missionary trips to Costa Rica, Pittsburgh, and Brunswick, Georgia, and during those trips, Ron mentored younger kids in the youth group and appeared to be rather successful. In 2018, Ron was baptized in his family church for the second time, the first being when he was 8 years old. Through his faith, Ron attempted to wean himself off pornography by limiting his internet usage, deleting his Facebook account, and purchasing a flip phone rather than using a smartphone. He set parental controls and blocks on his home computer, and they prevented him from accessing porn sites. Unfortunately, much like any other addiction, self-medication will never be successful. Ron had very little work history throughout his life, having only worked for a company that installed trade show exhibits, but he was furloughed after the worldwide pandemic began. In 2018, he was one of 11 members of the church's student ministry team that, quote, exists to see students receive Jesus Christ as Lord and walk in Him, being rooted in the faith. The shooter assured police during his interrogation that his crimes were not racially motivated, but rather a means of eradicating sexual temptations. Well, it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. He seems to believe it. There is no way offering an excuse or explanation, for there simply is none. This is a very sick young man who should be punished for his despicable crimes, but serious mental health treatment doesn't seem out of the order either. The shooter was charged with 8 counts of murder and 1 count of aggravated assault on March 17, 2021, with the counts being split evenly between the murders in Cherokee County and Atlanta. He was indicted by a grand jury in Fulton County on 19 counts on May 11, 2021. And those counts include murder, felony murder, domestic terrorism, and aggravated assault. The district attorney, Fannie Wells, announced that she would be seeking the death penalty with hate crime enhancements in the event he was convicted of murder. Also, on May 11, 2021, the shooter was indicted on 23 counts by a grand jury in Cherokee County for charges of malice murder, felony murder, attempt to commit murder, and aggravated assault. The Burns Law Group, PC, based in Canton, Georgia, represented the shooter. On July 27, 2021, the shooter pled guilty to all charges in Cherokee County, after the district attorneys in that county elected not to seek the death penalty. Their reasoning for that decision was to bring swift justice and to avoid years of lengthy appeals.
All right, Mr. I'm going to ask you some questions and make sure that I know that you understand the rights that you have in regard to these charges. You are 22 years old, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
How far did you go in school?
South College.
So you can read and write?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you under the influence of any drugs or alcohol today?
No, ma'am.
Are you being treated for any mental or emotional health issue?
No, ma'am.
Have you ever been?
No.
Have you ever been diagnosed with any mental health issue like depression or bipolar disorder or any ADHD, anything of that nature?
For the most part, up until the weeks prior to the arrest.
Okay. So you were not taking the medication in the weeks prior to the arrest?
Perfect.
Why not?
I don't have a good answer for that.
Okay. Because it was not available to you, because you did not like the way it made you feel, because some other reason?
I was just not keeping up with it at that time.
Okay. Have you received, we had a conference, the district attorney and your attorneys, and I had a conference yesterday. And I asked them some of the questions I'm going to ask you now. One of the things we discussed is whether or not there was anything in your mental or emotional status at the time of these offenses that might be a defense to your criminal liability. And also whether there were any issues related to the competency to stand trial today. And Mr. Burns, if you'll just tell, restate for the record whether there have been any evaluations of those issues.
Your Honor, we have had Mr. evaluated for competency, and we see no issues or offenses that have been presented to us.
Okay. And are there... Have there been any discussions or evaluations regarding criminal responsibility?
You know, they were all competency evaluations.
Is there any, do you have any concern as you stand here about whether or not your client was suffering from any mental or emotional disability at the time of these offenses that would... interfere with his understanding the difference between right and wrong?
No, Your Honor.
Or whether he was acting under any compulsion that would overmaster his will and result in his not being criminally liable?
No, we don't have any evidence of that.
Okay. Mr. have you discussed those issues with your attorneys?
Yes, ma'am.
And are you satisfied that those issues have been appropriately addressed in this case?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you received a copy of the indictment?
I have.
Gone over it with your lawyers?
Yes, ma'am.
And you heard Ms. Wallace read it on the record today?
Yes, ma'am.
You understand what you're charged?
Yes, ma'am.
Who are your lawyers?
Mr. Darren Burns and Zach.
And how did Mr. Burns and Zach come to represent you? Were they hired or appointed?
Appointed.
Have you had enough time to talk with them?
Yes, ma'am.
About how many times have you met with them personally?
At least more than 10.
What other contact have you had with them? How many times have you had a iWeb visit?
At least 5 or 6 times.
And are you satisfied that you have had enough time to talk with your lawyers?
Yes, ma'am.
You told them everything you know about your case?
I have.
Have there been any questions about the law that you have asked them that they could not answer?
No.
To specifically address some of the things that were brought up in the state's recitation of its evidence, Mr. Burns, have you gone over, for example, the forensic reports regarding the firearms and the bullets?
Your Honor, we have reviewed all of the state's evidence with Mr. Specifically the forensics, yes.
I think there was, we had some conversation about the statement and whether or not Mr. was afforded his right to counsel in that regard.
No, we have talked to Mr. about that, and what we had indicated, we're waiving any issues with regard to the voluntariness of this statement. The issue that we had when the statement was made is that we had let law enforcement and the district attorney's office know that we were appointed in the case. We had asked that Mr. not be interviewed unless we were present or to be informed that he had an appointed counsel at the time that they read Miranda. Neither one of those were done. We've talked. They didn't inform him that he had an attorney, and they did interview him outside of our presence. We talked to Mr. Long at length about this issue. He understands he's waiving that defense and that motion for purposes of this plea.
Is that correct, Mr.
Yes, sir.
So you understand by entering this plea of guilty, you are giving up your right to challenge the constitutionality of your statement.
Yes.
And if you did file a motion to suppress that statement as being obtained in violation of your constitutional rights, that statement may be suppressed and not admitted into evidence against you at trial.
I understand.
The state had mentioned when we spoke, I guess it was in regard to the tracking application and whether there were any constitutional implications from that. I'm not sure that there would be, but still a relatively a changing area of the law as far as the constitutionality of GPS monitors and other tracking devices. I am not aware of any law that would say a third party could provide that to law enforcement. So I don't know that that's an issue, but I presume that's something you've also discussed with your client.
Your Honor, we certainly have talked about that with Mr. And he has indicated to us, basically from day one, that he is ready to accept responsibility. And he would waive the issue of this app and any tracking issues. Although we agree with you, and we haven't specifically identified something to go over with him that he's waiving, but he understands how this happened, and he is not concerned.
As I said, if you consented to, did you consent to the use of that application on your phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Again, it may not make much difference in the ultimate sentence that's been negotiated, but it appears, at least at present, that the state does not have under subpoena and has not been able to speak to three of the named victims in this indictment. And therefore, pleading guilty to those counts means that you're giving up any possibility that they might not appear. Certainly, right now, unknown as to what their testimony would be if they were subpoenaed and brought before them. So, entering into those pleas of guilty without knowing what their testimony might be, if you understand that. Overall, you understand that you have a right to plead not guilty and go to a jury trial.
Yes, sir.
You You have a right to have a lawyer represent you at trial, and you have a right to a court-appointed lawyer if you cannot afford to hire one.
Yes, ma'am.
At a trial, you have a right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses against you. And you have a right to subpoena witnesses and have them come testify for you, whether they want to come to court or not. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
You can't be there to testify. You have a right to remain silent at trial. And you are presumed innocent. The state has the burden of proving your guilt by evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. Do you understand?
Yes.
You understand that if you went to trial and the jury found you guilty, you have a right to appeal your conviction.
Yes, ma'am.
You understand you give up all of those rights if you plead guilty.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand that I'm not required to accept any plea agreement that based on the charges in the indictment, court could impose a sentence of life without parole plus 165 years.
Yes,
I understand that. I understand you're not serving any other sentence. Is that correct?
Correct.
You understand that statements that you're making today under oath and on the record can be used against you in the trial as it might move forward in Fulton County.
Correct.
I understand from Mr. Burns and the state that it is not contemplated that Mr. would allocute as to the specifics of those incidents today, but some of the questions that the court will have and some of the discussions will necessarily relate to Fulton County case. In talking about, for example, the firearm and some of the issues regarding intent. You understand that? We have the possible effects of my conviction form that you go over that.
Yes,
ma'am. Do you have any questions about it?
No, ma'am.
Are you a United States citizen?
Yes, ma'am.
Has anyone threatened you or pressured you in any way at all to enter this plea of guilt?
No, ma'am.
Other than the plea agreement, has anybody told you you would get easier treatment if you pled guilty than if you went to trial?
No, ma'am.
The shooter was sentenced to 4 consecutive life sentences, without the possibility of parole, plus 35 years. He is awaiting trial in Fulton County. We all have the unique ability to help prevent such a catastrophic event from happening, if we keep our eyes and ears open and never hesitate to report when something or someone just doesn't seem right. It's our sincerest wish that there will be no more active or mass shooting stories to tell. We pray that love will prevail over hate.
Too many have died. We should say to ourselves, not one more.
In the meantime, we urge our listeners to stay aware of your surroundings and keep in touch with your loved ones. If you see something, say something. You never know how many lives you'll be saving. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Active Shooter, the podcast. Remember, if you see something, say something. There's no telling how many lives you may be saving. A huge thank you to Darren Curtis, who composed some of the music used in this episode. Check him out at darrencurtismusic.com. DarrenCurtis. Music.com.
Active Shooter. Reports of an active shooter. Active shooter.
Active shooter with mass casualty incidents.
Make sure to check us out on social media. We have a discussion group on Facebook. Just search for Active Shooter, the podcast discussion group. You can also find us on Instagram at Active the Podcast and Twitter at
Podcast Active. For just $1 a month, you can get access to ad-free episodes, early release episodes when available, and a shout-out on the show. Just go to patreon.com/activethepodcast. Thank you, and be safe.